In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus takes unto him Peter and James, Saint John, his brother, and bring them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. Dear faithful, on the 6th of August, the Church celebrates the great feast of the Lord's Transfiguration. Today, on the second Sunday of Lent, the Church also asks us to contemplate the Lord's Transfiguration. The Transfiguration, when in the presence of his closest apostles, Peter, James, and John, he allowed his glory to shine forth briefly through the veils of his flesh. We might think it is strange to have this gospel during Lent, a time when surely we should be contemplating the patience and suffering of Christ. But if we look closely, there are several reasons that the Church, in her wisdom, gives us this gospel today. We will notice that the Lord, within the cloud of his glory, is speaking to Moses and Elias, the two Old Testament figures who sum up in their persons the Law and the Prophets. Moses fasted 40 days. Elias did the same. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself fulfilled a like number on his own holy fast. As soon as we hear these three mentioned together, we think of certain things for which they stand. Moses for the Law, Elias for the Prophets, and Christ for the Gospel. Even as on the Mount of the Transfiguration, these three appeared together. So in the midst of our 40 Lenten fast, the liturgy reminds us of the fast of these holy men of old. Moreover, the time has now come when all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the Law of Moses and in the Prophets concerning me, as Jesus said to the disciples after his resurrection. The Father's voice sounds forth from the cloud to confirm that the promises have now been fulfilled. Moses in the Old Testament had promised that in the time of the Messiah, the Lord thy God will rise up to thee a prophet of thy nation and of thy brother like unto me, him thou shalt hear. And now the Father announces, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. There is another significant point as well. Saint Luke, in his account of the Transfiguration, adds that with Aaron, Moses, and Elias spoke of his decease that he should accomplish in Jerusalem. He was announcing to them that he was soon to endure his passion. Only in this way could the gates of heaven be opened. And this brings us to Peter, John, and James. Why were these three apostles present to witness this most singular miracle? Of the College of Apostles, they formed a privileged inner circle, but more than that, the Transfiguration, the site for a few fleeting moments of the glory of Jesus' soul shining forth through his human body, the transfiguration was for them a consolation given to prepare for the trauma that in a short time was to push their faith, perhaps, to its breaking point. For these three apostles, soon thereafter, were the witnesses of another transfiguration. Not this time a transfiguration of light on Mount Tabor, but a transfiguration of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was Peter, James, and John only who saw, who were present to see Jesus' appearance transformed by the sweat of blood. Dear faithful, dear friends, in our own spiritual lives too, the Lord in his mercy sometimes shows us a transfiguration before inviting us to accompany him on his agony in the garden. In the early days that follow a new convert reception into the church, in the happy time after a pardoned sinner leaves the confessional, in the first month, first year of a marriage, in the happy early days of a vocation after a young person enters the seminary or convent, the Lord often will send special consolations. Prayer seems easier and sweeter. There is much enthusiasm for God's glory and generosity in the service of others. But what Jesus desires more than anything is to draw us closer to him. The consolations he sometimes sends are a means to give us a taste for the spiritual life. They should not be an end in themselves. And on that point, we are all the same. Our love must be purified, and we must learn to attach ourselves not to the consolations of God, but to the God of consolations. Saint Francis de Sales reminds us, devotion, true devotion, does not consist in conscious sweetness and tender consolations, which move one to sighs and tears and bring about a kind of agreeable, acceptable sense of self-satisfaction. True solid devotion consists in a firm, resolute, ready, active will, prepared to do whatsoever is acceptable to God. Dear faithful, in the midst of consolations, we are tempted, like Saint Peter, to want to build a tent, to stay put where things are comfortable. But like him, we know not what we are saying because we want to bypass the cross. This Lent is a time for us to give thanks to Jesus for the special favors and consolations he may have given us, and to be courageous enough to accompany him also when he goes up to be crucified. To love him when he purifies us, and not only when he comforts us. Special efforts we can make this Lent is to practice the spiritual works of mercy, of forgiving injuries, and bearing patiently with the inconveniences we experience. For the mortifications which we do not choose for ourselves, but which Providence sends, are always even better than the ones we have chosen for ourselves. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.